and welcome to the Football Foundry, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and the Golden Goal Press. I'm your host, James, and I am joined by Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We've had
international football.
Yes, yarp.
Although it doesn't feel like we've had international football. Not been great. But we'll dip into that in a few moments. But quickly, before we do go anywhere, I suppose we best mention the tragic passing of Leyton Orient manager Justin Edinburgh, dying aged 49, just 5 days after suffering from a cardiac arrest, which is sad to hear.
Of course it is. Horrible.
Not nice news. It's rare that we get someone pass away that's still in a role.
Yeah, it is.
Usually, like, they've sort of gone on, retired, or such and such, but to have someone pass away that's still currently in a role and under contract, it's like the situation with, like, Emiliano Sala. There was, I can't remember who it was, someone in Italy had a similar sort of situation. Player for the club.
David Astore.
Yes, that's the one. But yeah, it's sad news. Thoughts go out to all family, friends, and people involved, obviously, with Justin. But I suppose we best jump into the news, because there's been some quite interesting news this week. It's done. It is finally over. Hazard completes his move to Real Madrid after 6 years in the waiting.
Shock.
The biggest shock of it all was how good of a deal Chelsea have actually got from this. A player being in his last sort of 12 months of his deal, or 18 months, can't quite remember how long it was. But there wasn't long left on it, basically. And I feel like Chelsea have got quite a good deal, considering they only paid around, what, 30, 35 million for him originally?
Yeah, from Lille.
They've got 7 years of service out of him, albeit he had that season where he's non-existent, but the other seasons he's been unbelievable. So for Chelsea to get what we think... Now, there's been lots of figures been thrown around, but I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe £89 million, €100 million, is the correct figure. But it could possibly be rising to £150 million in the future at some point, providing certain things in the contract are met. So, what do you make to it, Matt? Although we spoke about it before, but what do you make to it now it's done?
Like we said, we've been calling this transfer since the dawn of time, it feels like,
since
to be honest.
Since we started this podcast.
Pretty much. Great move for Hazard. He's done it at the complete right time now. If he left it any later, he probably would have missed his chance to go to Real Madrid just so he can show what a good player he really is. And from the sounds of it, value for money. And the deal for Chelsea, like £89 million is a good start, especially if it rises to £150 million. So I think it's a good deal all round.
It is, because he's obviously at the peak of his powers at the minute. He's like in them, like 28, 29. Is it 28?
I think it's 28, 29, mate. It's one of the two. He's right
there. Yeah, one of those. He's getting, he's at his actual peak. So for Chelsea to still get this amount for him, like say, when he is getting towards the end of his deal, and it's good on all parties, because Real Madrid are on that whole, we're looking to completely reshape the club, bring in fresh talent that's going to be like Galacticos, as they like to call them. And obviously offload quite a lot of players, and for Hazard to be involved in that when it's his dream, it's great. There's all the pictures that have been circulating about him wearing the Zidane shirt when he was a kid with Thorgan and Killian. And now he's obviously getting a play under him as well, so that's quite good. But I don't know where Chelsea are really going to go, because I'm pretty sure I saw as well that Sarri has said that he does want to leave the club now.
Yeah, I've seen that as well, so I don't think he's going to be there much longer. So it's going to be a fresh start.
Yeah, and if the ban still stands as well, it'll be hard to get a top manager in.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest one they could probably get is Lampard. Yeah. Or there's been talks of Javi Gracia as well, but will he want to go to such a big club and not be able to spend money and bring in his own type of player? It'll be hard to sell it to people. But I feel like someone like Lampard would be okay with it because of the time he's spent.
Yeah, obviously he's part of history of that club, so he'll be accepted by everyone and he'll probably be given a decent amount of time as well just because of his history at the club. I don't think it'll be a case of if he comes in and they're not battling for Champions League or the round that position. I think he'll get given more benefit of doubt of someone else coming in because of his past with the club. So I think it's a manager that potentially could get a bit of time at Chelsea to try and show his worth.
Definitely so. Just depends who else they've got in the running for it. We're going to have to talk about it, Matt. We've got to talk about it. The Nations League.
I thought you were going to start talking about that dog crying in the background, but the Nations League is doable.
She just needs to go away. That's what that is. yes, the Nations League. So, I went into this really positively. I don't know about yourself. I thought we had a really good chance. I mean, all the other teams that were in it were beatable.
I was positive after 32 minutes. I'll say that much for it. I was like, I've never seen it as a massive tournament, to be truthful. Like, I just think it's a friendly sort of tournament in between the World Cup and the Euro Championships. So it was like,
well,
it was good to see England carrying on from what they did last summer. It was just, I think it's good in the case because it is meant to be more competitive football. It'd be good for the England team in the long run that they've got all these players coming in and playing competitive football as a team. So for the big tournament, it should actually benefit them. But I was never really, obviously it'd be nice to have won, but I wasn't, like, it was definitely not the same sort of atmosphere as this time last year in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So. Yeah.
The way I see it is if we won it, it's bigger than the World Cup. It's bigger than Euros. But if we didn't win it...
never had that.
It's just a friendly competition, isn't it? That's all it is. Just a friendly. but we kicked things off with England-Netherlands. Obviously, Portugal played as well and beat Switzerland 3-1, but we're not bothered about that. England-Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Now, like you say, it was really positive. 32nd minute, got the penalty. Rashford scored it.
Definitely.
Great stuff. Looking good. Thought, best way to beat that defence is get them to foul us. Because De Ligt and Van Dijk were looking quite a concern to get past. But,
probably the best centre-back partnership in international football. I can't think of many who would challenge those two as an international centre-back for a country's partnership. Varane, Laporte potentially, but I think Van Dijk and De Ligt are probably the best two in the world as a partnership.
Imagine if Liverpool could convince De Ligt.
Wow.
That would be a good defence. Robertson, De Ligt.
It would hard not to become a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. that would be an unbelievable defence.
Trent, De Ligt, Van Dijk, Robertson. Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah,
And then you got Fabinho just in front to drop back when wing-backs go, oh, God, the damage that could be done. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Speaking of De Ligt, it did look a bit shaky to start with. And then he grew into the game, obviously getting the goal to equalise. But the game overall was just poor from England perspective and from a Netherlands perspective.
They looked tired. Looked tired.
They looked
completely
tired.
What it is. They were knackered. Both teams were knackered. A lot of the Dutch team playing the Premiership. Obviously, 95% of the England team playing the Premiership, bar Sancho. Mm-hmm. And all the other leagues have gone on a bit. Ajax dealt well, obviously, in the Champions League. So their players, yeah. Frankie de Jong and Matthijs de Ligt and Van der Beek, they were all playing, I think, that match, if I remember rightly.
Van der Beek came on quite late on, I think.
I was from the shirt. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, yeah. I just think they're all knackered, genuinely. Yeah.
And it was just full of mistakes, like
John Stones. School,
yeah, just John Stones, he was poor. At fault for the first and second goal.
And like you said, Delitt was at fault for Rashford's goal. So,
yeah.
Just panicked and tried to make up for it and just took him down. But, yeah, it wasn't a great game.
It was bad. Like, I feel sorry for the people that are out there having to do a podcast about these two games because, my God, it is a struggle. Oh dear. But no, yeah, John Stones had a really bad game. First one for De Ligt, the lack of awareness. Just he sort of, when you watch the replay of him trying to mark him, De Ligt waits for that just split second for John Stones to turn away. Soon as John Stones turns his head and gets distracted, he's gone. And Stones can never catch back up with him because he knows where he's going, he's gone, he's done it. It's too late. He were always behind him and he just didn't have him at all. Got the goal. And then the second one. John Stones, the second one. He's trying to roulette him a summer. I don't even know. Messes it up.
With Stones, it's like, I know England are trying to play out the back as well, but it's like John Stones does not know any other way to play this game now, because obviously under the stewardship of Guardiola or City, they're encouraged to do that as well. But the amount of times he kept turning back and just not releasing the ball. Oh, you know what? I'll turn back and wait for a better pass. It's like, my God, you're getting pressure on by like Quincy Proms or whoever else and just boot it up the
quick
pitch.
Attack. A quick attack.
If you need to. But it's always stalling. And you know what? I'll do another turn. I'll see if I can pass it to a fullback. It was over complicated, a simple pass.
In defense to Stones, I'm not saying he's not at fault because he is at fault. But the midfield were quite static as well. They didn't really move around too much to give him options, but like you say, he's already got his back to him anyway. So why is he not just booting it back to keeper? Turn round because there's no
option. Pickford just launch up the pitch.
Give it keeper. Let him oof it or let him pass it out to a wing back like he was going to try and do. But it's safer to do it that way. You're not going to mess it up. You're not going to get it played across goal.
For
Quincy Promes to. Oh, what a save by Pickford, though, for the initial shot.
Yeah, Pickford did well. Pickford's done all right in this tournament. Give him that.
Both games, Pickford had a really good game.
Be solid.
It's just unfortunate that the team has let Pickford down.
Massively.
The thing that you might not agree with me on is I think Quincy Promes has probably got one of the worst
finishes. He meant to hit Kyle Walker. I think he did it on purpose.
Really?
Yeah. No, obviously not.
Oh. I actually believed you then.
No, of course he didn't mean it. If Walker had went for the block, he would have missed, which is annoying. Yeah.
But exactly.
Walker's had to do that to put the pressure on
exactly.
the ball and
yeah.
mishit it. Like, but like,
there's no fault on Walker whatsoever.
No, he's trying to do a job.
It's just unfortunate.
Everyone's trying to save John Stones here.
Yeah, exactly. Like that is purely John Stones, and he's ran back to try and cover. It's bounced off him and gone in because Promise can't shoot for something I'm not gonna say.
Toffee.
yes, that. his finishing was awful. He had so many chances in this game. He could have literally put the game to bed. And even the last goal, the one that he scored in extra time, the second extra time. Second half, sorry, of extra time.
Yeah.
It was so close to just going over. Like, it hits the roof of the net, and it's an open goal. Like, and he had so many chances, and I watched the final as well, which we'll touch on a little bit later. He had so many chances in that, and his shooting is just awful. He's quick. He reminds me of what's-his-face from Wolves.
What, current squad Wolves?
Yeah.
What, Yota?
Traore.
Oh, Adama Traore. Oh, I don't think he's quick as Adama Traore.
Well, I'm not saying he's as quick as him, but Traore's got pace and no end product. And I feel like he's a bit similar.
I think
just my personal opinion.
completed player than Adama. Traore is just raw. Promes has been around. He's been around European football for quite a bit. And I've probably been a little bit harsh on him, maybe, but I can see why you said it from this match, but probably a bit harsh in the grand scheme of
and the final as well. But yeah, enough ranting about him. The VAR, cool. The one that got ruled out, Lingard. Yeah. Such a good finish.
What a good finish.
Had the nation all like, yes! And then VAR. It's so marginal offside. It's ridiculous. It's so tight. Oh, and we didn't think it would come back in the second game. But it does. But before that, what was Ross Barkley even thinking?
To be fair, I don't know. Like, obviously, he's been passed the ball by John Stones, I believe, as well. But
have my curse.
But it's one of those things, again, where I think John Stones was dallying on with the ball and he should have probably hoofed it. But he's passed it to Barkley.
Yeah, there was a lot of
pressure. He's then passed
on.
It back to, well, tried to pass it back to Pickford. So.
Yeah, but I think Barkley's standing there screaming for it when he has got a man behind him and a man to his left as well. He's putting everyone under the same pressure, not just himself. Yeah. So that slight little nudge that he gets when he kicks it is going to be expected. And then obviously they go through and put it home to make it 3-1. But at that point, to be fair, I was screaming at the TV, just saying, why are we knocking it about the back? Just go forwards. Like, we're losing 2-1. Yeah. We're in extra time. It's the last 10 minutes for extra time. Just throw everything at them.
Just stuck in that philosophy of passing it around the back.
Yeah. Why we've abandoned the whole the system that we had at the World Cup, where every single player on the pitch did something to contribute. I mean, what's Dele Alli done?
I could think, mate. I think they're knackered. I just don't...
Yeah, but you can say that about the World Cup. They'll be knackered from that. It's two games.
I know.
Like, I get the Champions League ones being knackered. I understand that. But Harry Kane...
On the build-up to the World Cup, though, they had pre-season, they had friendlies leading up to it. A lot of these players are coming to this match raw, as in last game of the Premiership season, they played no football bar. They're obviously the Tottenham and Liverpool lads. So it might have been the case that England probably needed a pre-friendly before this time just to get the rhythm back.
Yeah. That is true, yeah. No, I can agree with that. It's just not good. Like, I think coming away from this now, Southgate needs to look at it and be like, right, we've played this system for however many games. We've not been getting decent results, bar the one against Spain, I'd say. Could argue the second one against Croatia as well, not the first one where there were no fans, because my God, that was dreadful. But the system's just not worked as well. And I think it was literally like you could count on one hand the amount of players that actually had a decent game, being Pickford,
Stones.
Trent Alexander-Arnold. Don't even come at me with Stones. Harry Maguire did all right as well, to be fair. Didn't really do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Not that he did anything exceptional either. He just weren't at fault for anything, really.
Jaden.
Yeah, he did all right. Did good. Sterling had a few missed chances, but he looked a lot lively. He looked more lively than he usually does in an England shirt. But yeah, it weren't great. But the second game, England-Switzerland, my God, it was such a dull, boring game and lots of missed chances again.
So at least there was chances in this match. Like, England kept hitting the woodwork and Sterling had clear chances and... Yeah, Callum Wilson's goal disallowed, and there was
some interesting chants about VAR during that game.
Yeah,
I would obviously get the sound clip, but explicit in that. But no, who'd have thought VAR would come back again, get us again?
Of course, it would.
It is a clear foul, though. I understand.
Yeah, it's a foul.
I get that.
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
Like, there's a lot of people out there that are saying, like, it's they should have been allowed, And it, you look at Callum Wilson's especially, where he literally grabs his arm and pulls him to ground as he's running through. Of course, that's not going to get given. But it was good for Wilson to score, don't get me wrong, because I do love a bit of Callum Wilson.
I like Callum Wilson.
And he came on, and obviously he's not going to get much game time, Kojugari came. Yeah. So for him to get a goal, even though it was disallowed, was good. But it's just a shame the game finished 0-0. There was Sterling free kick that hit the post. Trent, again, was unbelievable in this game.
Yeah, great distribution. Definitely.
Yeah. There was something flying around that no one else in an England shirt has put in more crosses since David Beckham.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, it just shows his quality and his awareness of who's where and where to put the ball.
Yeah.
And the delivery is just beautiful from left or right, because he put a couple in from left as well.
Yeah.
And they're just, oh, that outswinging one is just beautiful to see. He's just amazing, isn't he? He's still good. A kid as well. He's great.
He's good. He's good.
It was good to see Joe Gomez as well.
I rate Joe Gomez. Yeah.
I do. I like good him. Little partnership, that Gomez and Maguire.
Yeah, obviously, I think Southgate will always try and get John Stones in there.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying get rid of Stones, but it did need dropping from that game. Yeah. Just as a bit of like to protect him more than anything.
Yeah, it's fair enough, mate.
But there weren't really much. The biggest thing of all was obviously Jordan Pickford in this penalty shootout. Which, by the way, let me just add, every single penalty was like top draw.
Yeah, there were some decent ones.
Even from Switzerland as well, they were really good penalties. But Pickford, it's rare you see a goalkeeper taking him in the first five.
Pickford was just confident, I'm guessing, but it showed. It was a good pen, to be fair to him.
It really was a good penalty.
It was a good pen.
Sancho got one in as well. How does that make you feel?
He did. To be fair, it's probably the worst pen of the lot. But
yeah, almost got saved. It.
But now there was some confident pens. Barkley dropped the key. And to be fair, Jan Sommer is a very good goalkeeper.
He is. There was
so many saves, to be fair, in the match. Yeah, like Jan Sommer is a very good goalkeeper. Barkley made him look stupid. There's some good pens. And obviously there's one where, can't remember who it was for Switzerland, he did a stutter step and he pretty much then picked for the wrong way with it. And some good pens.
No, yeah, the top draw. I had a feeling Eric Dier were going to blast it over the bar, though.
Yeah, he didn't, or did he?
Because you have that moment in a penalty shootout where you're like the boss, and then everyone's like, "Oh, he's gonna blast this into net. You're unbelievable in Russia." Bang of it, bang. You could just see it. But no, he confident slotted it home. Good stuff. And then obviously Pickford pulled out the save as well. And to be fair to him, cracking save, because it was a decent penalty.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, it's good to know we've got a goalkeeper that can smash him in on penalty spot.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
As well as stop him. But the celebrations weren't as emphatic as I'd have liked, but it's third place. No one really cares.
I was going to say, they'll probably just disappoint they didn't make it to the final, so they'll say, yay. Then, like,
challenge for you. Name the last three third place teams in a World Cup.
Belgium, obviously.
Yeah, Belgium. Who did 2014? I have got no idea. And don't even ask me about 2010, because I've not got a clue. Basically, my point is, no one remembers who finishes third.
Holland,
you can remember
did.
The finals. Was it Holland? What, in 2010?
14.
Oh, no. Holland finished third.
Yeah. They did really well, because it's when Van Gaal went to United after, because Van Persie scored that looping header, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's one thing that Holland miss.
What, Van Gaal or centre forward. Van Persie?
just that type of centre forward, that little bit of extra class.
Yeah, I get that.
With a good finish. That's all they're missing now. I feel like the team that they've got the building, it's a good young team that are all full of, like, talent and ability.
Yeah,
it's just having that world class centre forward like a Van Persie. get Hunter Lar back.
No, he's a bit old.
Just a little bit.
Might as well get Van Nistelrooy.
Get them all back. Get them all. But then we had the final, which was, to be fair, just as boring as the previous games. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even watch the first half. When I turned it on and it went 0-0, I was like, well, I've not missed much ever. Portugal won 1-0. Makes it the second international tournament win.
Not Ronaldo wasn't happy that I didn't get player of the tournament. He was sulking because Bernardo Silva won it instead.
Yeah, but Bernardo Silva's been brilliant.
Bernardo Silva is just brilliant.
The man has won 4 trophies this year.
Yeah.
Just in 2019. We're 6 months in. That's almost a trophy a month. That's mental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see it. But no, he's a great player. Quality player.
He is. Bernardo top draw. Still fairly young as well, like 24, isn't he?
24. Sure he is. Sure he is.
Crazy stuff. But it was... it's good to see someone else score other than Ronaldo, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to be the Ronaldo tournament, you know, when he got his hat-trick against Switzerland. I thought that was going to be that, but it wasn't. It wasn't to be.
If he got a goal in the final, he might have picked up the award. But
yeah, because his hat-trick was quite decent, yeah, to be fair.
He actually scored a free kick for the first time in forever as well, so that's always a bonus.
First time since the World Cup.
Don't surprise me.
I want to know if that's right. Has he scored a free kick all season for Juventus?
Probably not. Takes about 10,000 and scores one every 10,000.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
Free but kick, it's always on the big occasion, isn't it?
They've got Pjanic and Dybala, definitely probably better free kick takers than Ronaldo, but because it's Ronaldo, he has to take them and try to valve it and either hits the wall or nowhere near.
Tries to valve it. I love that.
He does.
Hit the valve. Oh, dear. But, yeah. There hasn't really been much else going on this week. Dan James has completed his move to United.
Newcastle haven't signed anyone yet.
Oh, yeah. That takeover's still ongoing, isn't it? Have you heard... Oh, actually, you've just made something click into my head. Have you heard what they said about Rafa?
No.
If the takeover goes through, they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
That is ridiculous.
To be fair, I did see an article before of apparent... see if I can find it quickly. Of Mourinho's... What Newcastle team's going to look like with the signings if Mourinho comes. Let's just see if I can just find it quickly. I'm just about to laugh about that.
Is it going to be a back four of Antonio Valencia, Chris Smalling? Lindelof and Luke Shaw.
Okay. It's from the Sun, apparently. How Newcastle could line up under... I know, Sun, credible. I know, it's probably discredited straight away, but I would predict it like... Ha! Okay. Debravka, Valencia. Yeah.
Antonio Valencia.
The agent. Gary Cahill. Diaz. Fernandez, Almiron, Gomez, Mateta, Falcao and Perez. That's probably going to be Newcastle's lineup next season.
Falcao! he can't come back to the Premier League. He can't.
That's what they're saying.
He had such a drastic time the last
how
two
How much
times.
Are all these going to cost them?
Well, are they not all free agents, pretty much?
Well, to be fair, Andre Gomez would be a good player because I'd rate him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So would there's a guy out at Borussia Dortmund as well. That's
there's quite a few guys.
He's a Gomez, but he's top draw as well.
Okay.
But there's a lot of Gomezes out there. They're top draw. This is what we've come to. We're just talking about Gomez. Question for you before we do actually sign off and go.
Okay.
Given these two performances from England,
right?
Where do you see it going? Is it going to be like a look at changing it up again, or sticking with the same thing and persevering?
They'll stick with it and persevere. It's just I think it's just they had such a good well. It's going back to the same argument of last summer that we didn't actually play anyone till Belgium and we got beat by them. Well, I'm sorry, by Croatia and we got beat by them or Belgium in the qualifiers. Mm-hmm. So, but then we played against Spain and. take them apart. It's like, I think they need to stick with the system they've currently got and just keep working at it. Keep just bringing a few more younger players into the squad and just keep developing like that. I think England are still definitely lacking a second striker that can score. It can be as prolific as Harry Kane is. I really rate Callum Wilson. I just don't know if his England class level that he'll score game in, game out thing like Harry Kane has for us.
It all depends on how Rashford gets on at United.
Yeah, Rashford's definitely could be the next one. Like, could be. But England sometimes have Kane up top and Rashford off him on the side. But
yeah.
I don't know, like, I know we've done it in the past where we've predicted an England squad, it's like, for the future, but
it's hard.
Because, Pickford and Nets, right back would be Trent, centre backs ideally would be,
I'd say Maguire and Gomez.
We've not even got Kyle Walker in there, mate. We've gone straight for Trent rather than Kyle Walker.
Yep. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I know.
Trent's proved it. I'm not saying Kyle Walker's a bad player because he's not, but Trent's delivery, he's got more about him going forwards. Kyle Walker bursts forwards on these like insane runs, but then there's no sort of, the delivery's not quite there, or he runs into middle of pitch, plays out wide, we lose ball, and then there's no one back. So, I mean, it Trent is better at it than Walker, so I'd rather have Trent in it.
Then it would be a case of Maguire and either Joe Gomez or John Stones. Left back.
Yeah. There's three possible options there. But I think going forward for the future, it's going to have to be Chilwell.
Yeah, probably. To be fair, I'm still a massive fan of Luke Shaw. But
same as Danny Rose as well. I like Danny Rose.
I just don't know if Luke Shaw's going to hit where he should be. You never know. He might...
It all depends with this United change around thing, if it's going to work out. Is he going to get consistent game time and not get injured? Because, I mean, when he first came back originally, he was top draw. But
then
it all depends.
You said a midfielder, Dele Alli, is probably going to be there for the long run now, I'd expect. Then it's like, who's going to be the leader in that midfield? Are you going to stick with Jordan Henderson? Or are you going to...
Do you know who I'd straight up put in that midfield when they're fully fit?
You can say Harry Winks.
As that holder.
As a holding.
It can dictate play so much better than Henderson and Dyer can. Dyer, for me, is a negative backwards pass, sort of. There's no drive to him.
I'm a big fan of Declan Rice.
I like Declan Rice as well.
I don't think Declan Rice is ready for it like as much, but I think Declan Rice will be a player for us in the future. I'm a big fan of Declan Rice.
Yeah. I think Winks and Rice to sort of share that role between them. And then the other two midfield slots if we're playing three in middle.
There's other kids as well, because you can even look at Lewis Cook, and it's people like that who've got potential to come through still for the England team. And it's just... I can't think of any other real, like, just play Fabian Delph again. Nope.
Oh, God. I don't like Delph.
I don't know how he gets in the squad. I don't get it.
I have no idea.
He plays games a season for City and gets in every single squad.
I think, do you know what it generally is?
He's got pics of Southgate.
I think it's his honest, his presence of how he is in changing rooms. Because after watching that All or Nothing thing or whatever it was that City did.
Yeah, I remember the documentary.
He's a really big, big personality in that dressing room. And he can motivate a team, so I can see why he'd be there. But if you're bringing him for that purpose, why play him?
I don't know about Fabian Delph, but...
Yeah. But yeah, it's a tough one, especially that midfield. I think everywhere else you can sort of predict who's going to get the position, but that midfield is up for taking.
My front three would be Kane, Sterling and Sancho.
Yeah, and then Hudson-Odoi thrown in every now and again.
He's not playing enough for Chelsea, but hopefully he will now.
But it's injured a minute, isn't it? I feel like when he's back fit again, I think he'll get some quite consistent game time.
True.
Because he did start playing quite regular for him before he did get injured.
Yeah.
So I think when he's back fit again, he'll kick on. Hopefully, providing that the injury is not like knocked his confidence or anything like that. I hope he comes back and he just keeps firing like he was.
So, yeah.
And then you've got players like Oxlade-Chamberlain as well.
Yeah, because he's just come back from injury. So hopefully, because before his injury, he was injured, Ox was in incredible form for Liverpool and England, to be honest. He was doing all right. Loftus-Cheek, whether he gets his games. And you got the kid from Wolves that's doing bits as well.
He's a cheek. Oh, no, Gibbs-White.
Phil
Foden.
Quite like Madison. Him. Phil Foden needs matches week in, week out to prove it. Madison, to be fair, needs given a chance. Well, to be fair, he just needs to continue following the Brendan Rodgers, to be truthful.
He really does.
He started the season off well. Then he had about 4 months spell of nothing. And then Brendan Rodgers came and he started playing again. So,
yeah.
Then James Ward-Prowse at Southampton. There's kids like that. And he's got an absolutely wonderful left foot. It's like...
Yeah, there's all sorts. There's so many players that you could put in that midfield. Yes. Like, it is honestly a really tough one. And I get why he's experimenting quite a lot with it. Because obviously Barkley as well. He's a cracking player. Forget his mistake that he made. He's been cracking for England these last few games that we've played. Been unbelievable. And I would have him in there at minute over top of likes of Henderson and Dyer. Even Ali at the minute, I'd have Barkley in over him. Because Ali's... I'm not saying he's not done anything, but he's just not been... that clinical, because he's had a few chances, he sort of messed them up. There were runs that he were making and not really finding a player to pass to or anything like that, or heavy touch. But yeah, I understand his struggle that he's going to have anyway. But I suppose we'll just have to wait and see, because we ain't in that England camp and we don't have a clue what's going on with it.
Not yet. We're not in that camp yet.
Not yet. Not yet. I like that ambition, Matt. When Southgate's out, we'll go in as joint managers.
Easy.
You'll just be on your knees for Sancho, you. You are captain. You take everything. You play on your own.
Glenn Murray would finally get a cap.
Oh, dear. Right, well, I suppose we'd best wrap up anyway. So, if you would like to find us on the social media, and if you've got any points or anything like that that you want to raise to us about the whole England games or how you think they're going to go on in the future, you can get in touch by finding us on Twitter.
At Footy Foundry.
You can find us on Facebook.
Football Foundry.
And to get all the episodes, you can go to our website.
www.thefootballfoundry.com.
Very professional, that one, Matt.
That's right.
A huge thank you to our partners, the Beautiful Game Network. As you heard last week, we had Ryan Allen and Jonathan Slape come on the show from the Beautiful Game Network. So if you would like to check out all the different types of podcasts on there, you can do so by finding them on Twitter.
At BGNFM.
Brilliant. And thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves. They are the official scarf supplier of the MLS, USL and US Soccer. You can get yourself a custom-made scarf for your team at
roughneckscarves.com.
Boom. And finally, a huge thank you to our other sponsor, Golden Gold Press, the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for yourself or your little group of friends. You can check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places at
GoldenGoldPress.com.
Boom. And that is us done for another week. Now all we need, Matt, is we need some juicy transfers to come out. We need...
Carlo to be taken over by Sheikh Mansour's third brother's cousin's dog's walker's sister's mum's aunt's fiance.
Oh dear. Will the PSG owners looking to take over Leeds drop him a message?
Come to Carlo.
Be like, come a bit further north. come north.
To the proper north.
The proper north, give over. Well, technically, can't get much north than us.
Pretty much Scotland.
Oh dear. Oh, well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. And we will be with you next week. I usually say that before after Matt says goodbye. So would you like to say
not
goodbye?
Not now, because you cut me off.
Would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye, Matt.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. And we'll be with you next week.
This podcast is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or BritpodScene on Twitter to find out more.